Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
As I said, we're stepping into an interview right here on Freedom 106.5 FM with Dr. Amina Khan, who's here to talk to us about infertility and women's health. Good morning to you, Doctor, and how are you? Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. So welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Dr. Khan. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you decided to step into this branch of medicine?
Hi, okay. I am an obstetrician and gynecologist. I have been working in this field for over 25 years. And I basically started during my internship. I basically noticed that there were very few female obstetricians and gynecologists. And I decided that this was a good opportunity for me to offer myself, to offer my compassionate service to all women and provide, you know, service for them.
And your service is towards infertility and women's health, yes?
Well, today's topic, yes, is based on infertility, but gynecology covers a wide range of conditions. But today we are focusing on infertility, yes.
And what are some of the causes of infertility in women? Abnormal bleeding, those different symptoms that we do hear about. Can you tell us and elaborate on some of them?
Yeah, sure. So when we are speaking about infertility, first of all, it's defined as the inability to become pregnant after 12 months of trying for a woman who is under 35 years. If, however, she's under 35, then the time frame to try for pregnancy is approximately 6 months, and this is without using any birth control. In terms of the causes, it could be broadly categorized into three different categories. So with regard to women, it can either be problems with the ability to ovulate or meet the egg, or problems with the reproductive organ itself, so meaning the tubes, if there's any damage to the tubes, or within the uterine cavity, if there's any abnormalities there within the womb. Now, because it's a couple's issue, we also have the male factor. And for fertility or infertility, as much as 40 to 50% of cases can be due to a male factor. And this in particular refers to the sperm count, and the sperm function. So those are the main category. In terms of females as well, there are different causes of the infertility. So for example, if we're looking at ovulation, one of the main causes for men not to be able to ovulate is a condition known as polycystic ovary syndrome. In terms of the tubes, if women have a history of tubal damage from infections, we refer to the infections as pelvic inflammatory disease or certain sexually transmitted infections. Unfortunately, these can cause a lot of damage that can prevent pregnancy in the future.
Now, listening,
another main category.
Now, well, listening to some of the issues, is there like warning signs or symptoms that a woman can see before actually going to get tested that they are infertile and may have problems conceiving?
Right, sure. That's a very good question. So it all depends on the individual person. So if you have no symptoms and you think you are healthy, meaning a woman has a regular period, she has no abdominal pains, she has no issues with her period, then she may not assume that she has any problems. And therefore, as a couple, they can start trying on their own. So that's the unfortunate thing, because with PID in particular, the majority of times there are no symptoms. And therefore, you can acquire an infection, have no symptoms, the damage has occurred, and you would not be aware of it until you come to the gynecologist to be assessed clinically through an examination, through some tests or investigations, and maybe then we can pick it up. So Good question. Basically, the general advice is if you are healthy, you start trying. But if it has not occurred within a certain time frame, then definitely you need to visit a doctor.
And what age would you suggest that regular checkup? Because, you know, from a certain age, they always say that you need to visit a gynecologist regularly. What age do you suggest that to start happening?
Right, sure. So we always advise and we always say that preventative care is better than, you know, that, and it's always good to be proactive. So in general, once a woman up to the age of like 16, they usually would see their GPs or pediatrician. And from 16 years onwards, they can visit the gynecologist. And again, they do not have to have a medical issue. We advise coming for your well woman. And sometimes you can, after history examination, we may be able to detect something and we can be proactive at that point.
And what age is too young or too old to have children? I would love to hear the answer to this because, you know, that is a heavy debate. Can you give us an answer on that?
Sure. So from the age of 18, legally, okay, according to law, that's the time men can actually conceive and get pregnant, not before the age of 18. Because of, you know, many women and careers now, a lot of women tend to be their reproductive ambitions until later on. So, if you have reached that course, you can actually still become pregnant. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the general age of that course is 55 years. So of course we can advise that you wait until 50 to start trying to get pregnant. But since you asked the question, it's actually up to that age. Mm-hmm. So because of the advent of fertility now and fertility treatments, women who are older can actually embark on those tests. But the answer to the ideal age to conceive is in your 20s to 30s. And the chance of having a baby at that age is much higher. As a woman gets older, and for example, 40 years and beyond that, it is much more difficult to get pregnant per menstrual cycle. So the statistics show as few as 10% of 100 women can have their ability to conceive per cycle. But if you're in your 20s or 30s and you're healthy, then the chances of conceiving every month is as much as 25 to 30%, or 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 women.
So you see the myth of crossing the age of 45, you can't have any children, you're crazy if it is you're thinking about, you know, bringing children into the world. You amaze me by saying 55, at 55 you could possibly have a child. I've seen in some stories women as old as 60, 63 having babies. You know, I guess it depends on the way in which they conceived. You know, knowing that there's fertility treatments and so on that are available now to increase the chances of giving birth. Can you tell us a little bit about those fertility procedures or the different procedures for conception?
Okay, sure. So basically, when a patient or when couples have difficulty conceiving, the first step is to seek medical advice to have a medical evaluation. So the obstetrician or the gynecologist conduct those investigations, right? So their basic tests, first of all, a history is needed, a physical examination, and there are different tests that can be done, including blood tests, swab tests, a pelvic ultrasound. Depending on those results, then further testing may be required. For the male partner, of course, a semen analysis or sperm count is the general first-line investigation. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the results of these investigations and the possible cause for infertility. Then there are different methods or options that are available for couples. So if, for example, the male factor sometimes the male partner need to be referred to the urologist. With regard to females, if there's a problem with ovulation, then there are methods of using tablets or injections that can be used to stimulate ovulation in order to produce the egg for conception. If those methods fail after having been to the gynecologist, then we refer patients on to the in vitro fertilization clinics or the IVF clinics, which locally they are only available in the private sector, not the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
So if once patients have to go to the clinic, they then have to end up on that procedure there to have specialist treatment to consider.
And I would think that these procedures are quite expensive as well. So you have to consider the budget and which direction you would take for these kinds of procedures.
Yes, sure. So it is very quite expensive. So financially, it can take a toll on couples, and not many couples may be able to afford it. Hence the reason why it's also important not to delay it too long, and not to miss that opportunity to be able to conceive naturally, because obviously that's the best way to get pregnant. But I mean, if there are issues, if there are medical issues that need treatment and they have to be referred into the IVF, then, you know, that's the only option at that point.
And let's say you've decided which avenue to go. Does diet and exercise play an important role in conception?
Oh, yes, very much so. For any general health issues as well, we always advise to maintain, you know, a good health. So for a woman, for example, the body mass index is important. So having a proper weight for height ratio, so that you're not in a category of being overweight or obese, this alone will help to ovulation, or the ability to make eggs. That's one. If you're underweight as well, so women who exercise too regularly, or they try to be underweight, that can affect your cycles as well, and affect the ability to also make eggs. The gain weight is what is very important for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, use of recreational drugs, the use of alcohol, smoking, these things can affect both men and women. So for the male partner, it can affect his sperm count and his sperm function. So it's very important to avoid and to stop these use of these recreational drugs to conceive it.
What about the inclusion of medications that you may be taking for other issues? Is there a discussion as to the ceasing of those medications or variation or changes? Can you give advice on that as well?
Yes, of course. So there are certain medical conditions that may impact on pregnancy as well. So all couples are advised to come for periconceptual counseling. This is prior to embarking on a pregnancy. So again, many rules for that can optimize your health. And, you know, advice is given on the same dietary, lifestyle, medications if needed. And certain medications are contraindicated when you're pregnant. It can affect the development of a fetus. So just use an example. If a woman is diabetic, or she has high blood pressure or high cholesterol, certain medications be adjusted, discontinued, a new medication started prior to getting pregnant. Right? So women who have thyroid, you know, they need to adjust their medications, and we have to do blood tests to ensure that their blood results are within a normal range before they get pregnant.
And let's talk finally about hormones and how.
So those are
The last part you said. Sorry.
Go ahead. You can continue.
Let's talk about hormones and how important it is to have balanced hormones when thinking about getting pregnant.
Okay, sure. So one of the factors is having a regular menstrual cycle. So if women do not have a regular menstrual cycle, that may suggest that their hormones are not, you know, in sync. Their hormones may be a bit abnormal. So this is where the blood investigations will come into play. And when you do these blood tests, we could basically have a look and see if their hormones are not, you know, in sync. All right. So their hormones that are involved in the cycle, the menstrual cycle, that are produced from the brain, which then affect the ovarian function and the hormones that are produced there that control the menstrual cycle. So those are basic blood tests that we do. Similarly, there is a hormone that is produced by a gland in the brain called the pituitary gland. Mm-hmm. So it's called prolactin. If their prolactin levels are elevated, this can also affect ovulation. All right, and similarly with the thyroid. So when we investigate a woman for polycystic ovary syndrome, we basically have to exclude other causes of hormonal imbalances. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't really discussed in detail, but basically conditions such as uterine fibroid and endometriosis, all these can impact on your ability to get pregnant. So that is why it's very important to have gynecological assessments done.
And regular visits, well, from the time you hit your first menstrual cycle all the way up to menopause, making sure that you at least visit your gynecologist as often as possible so you could, like they say, early detection is better than waiting around to find out that it is too advanced to be treated.
Exactly. So annual checkups are what we would recommend. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, if you have issues prior to this, you detect that you have symptoms, then you obviously are feel free to come to get, you know, investigated. But usually, in general, annual checkups are recommended.
Thank you so much, Dr. Khan, for joining us and giving us some information on fertility. I know we didn't get to go into the nitty-gritty, but we can reschedule for another interview so that we can really talk about, as you said, PCOS and endometriosis and the other conditions that are causes infertility in women.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. I mean, unfortunately, this condition, infertility, affects as many as 6 couples worldwide. Mm-hmm. So it's really an important topic. And, you know, it impacts couples, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally. And, you know, we have to the support and the compassion that they need for them to navigate through the entire process so that it could make it easier for them. And, you know, it's, you know, getting pregnant is what, you know, many couples would obviously want to achieve. So it's something that we generally want to give advice, and we definitely would like to help them to have.
Thank you so much, Dr. Khan, and enjoy the rest of the day. We'll be in touch very soon.
Thank you very much for having me. Take care.
Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.